dominate your fantasy baseball league with Fantasy Baseball Today, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Scott White, Chris Towers, and me, Frank Stanfill, every weekday as we recap every player from every game. We'll get you the latest news, waiver wire ads and drops, trades to make, prospect promotions, and everything else you need to take down your league. Follow and listen to Fantasy Baseball Today on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
To more of Atlanta Soccer Tonight with Jason Longshore
on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Welcome back. It is Atlanta Soccer Tonight, live on 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app. I'm Jason Longshore. Thanks for hanging out with me this evening. We're going to get into Club World Cup next and what's going on with the teams around it and a couple storylines to keep in mind. But I do want to finish up the Atlanta United conversation from the last segment about the shape. It was a very subtle tweak that Ronnie Dyla employed in this one, and I thought it helped unlock a couple different things in the team. He's went to three center backs as of late, and I agree with the move. I think the team has been a little frail defensively. The third center back gives you just a little bit more comfort there without sacrificing getting forward. So I like that, and I think you have the players to suit it. You have the wingbacks to suit it with Brooks Lennon, although he was injured again in the first half of the match against Philadelphia. You have Pedro Amador. You do have the ability to play Saba Lobjanidze as a wingback. You have Ronald Hernandez. You have Matt Edwards as possibilities there too. But you can play an attacking player as a wingback if they can do enough defensively for you. And if you have a center back like Matt Edwards, who has proven to be a natural fit for this kind of shape, he can slide over and make it a line of four if Saba does get caught up the field, for example. Or Edwin Mosquera or Luke Brennan. There's other options to play that wingback role as well. So that part works. We'd seen that. But the tweak was in the midfield. It was one holding midfielder behind two rather than two holding midfielders behind one. And I'm really reluctant to use the 6-8-10 terminology because I'm hearing it completely misused everywhere. In traditional terms, the six is the most defensive midfielder. The eight is a mix midfielder, a box-to-box, you could call. That term gets thrown around, too. Somebody who has to get forward and defend, but isn't necessarily the deepest on a regular basis or the most attacking on a regular basis. A 10, playmaker. Sometimes they can play it more as a goal-scoring threat, but that is the most advanced of the midfielders. So six most defensive, eight in the middle. 10 as the most attack-minded. And you can have a three-man midfield with two sixes and a 10. You can have it with two sixes and an eight. That means it's going to be a little bit deeper, probably. You can have it with a 6-8 and a 10, where one guy is going to sometimes flip it to make it two behind one or two in front of one. You can do a lot of different things. In this shape, Ronnie Dyla has typically had two behind one. He had one behind two. It was Tristan Mbuyamba behind Jay Fortune and Alexei Maranchuk. And I thought it really functioned like a 6-2-8s, if you want to call it that. But Fortune and Maranchuk both were capable to drop deep and really flank Tristan Mbuyamba. And they could also get higher up the field when they needed. They could flare out wide when they needed. It's a very fluid midfield. And I think those three worked very well together. And I thought they complemented one another really well. What it also did is it allowed Miguel Almiron to be in an extremely free role. And that's been a challenge for Ronnie Dyla, is to find the best version of Miguel Almiron in this team. And it kind of reminds me of how he looked. The rest of the shape's a little different, but how he looked in the playoff run in 2018, where it was a 5-3-1-1. Not all that different, but a little different. And he was very free. Not really pairing directly with Joseph Martinez then, and he wasn't pairing directly with Jamal Tiare or Latte Lott here, but he's basically a wild card. And you're not asking him to follow a structure, especially defensively, which has proven to be an issue this season. I know we've talked about chance creation out of him, which was good on Saturday, where it had not been good previously. But defensively, when he's in a wide position in a 4-3-3, or even when he's a central midfielder, you've got to get a little bit more defensively. We saw the shape in Austin. I mentioned it a lot during the call. he needed to be wider and he wasn't. So that was creating 2v1 situations that Atlanta was able to handle, but a lot of stress. In this, which kind of honestly looked like a line of five and a diamond in front of that, it was Muyambaz, the deepest of the diamond. It was Fortune and Moranchuk in front of him. And it was the striker, Jamal Tiare, to start. And then Almiron would pop up anywhere and make it a pentagon shaped in a bunch of different directions. Sometimes he dropped deep and he was next to Muyamba in the buildup. Sometimes he was very high next to the forward. Sometimes he was more in that middle group. I think it suits him right now. And I think it suits him as he's trying to regain his confidence playing regularly and contributing to this team. So there were a lot of things about the shape that I really liked. That's kind of how I saw it. We'll see if it continues against Cincinnati on Sunday. Pregame coverage will start at 6 o'clock with Abe Gordon and Madison Cruz from Mercedes-Benz Stadium. Mike Conte and I will take over for a 7:10 kickoff from the Benz.
Dominate your fantasy baseball league with Fantasy Baseball Today, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Scott White, Chris Towers, and me, Frank Stample, every weekday as we recap every player from every game. We'll get you the latest news, waiver wire ads and drops, trades to make, prospect promotions, and everything else you need to take down your league. Follow and listen to Fantasy Baseball Today on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Later this summer, the Benz is going to host the Club World Cup. That actually starts really soon. June 16th is the first game in Atlanta. Chelsea will be playing the winner of the play-in match between LAFC and Club America. That's going to be on May 31st. So when that game is done, we will know who is coming to Atlanta to face Chelsea. A lot of conversation right now worldwide about the Club World Cup. I want to play you some of that sound in this segment. First up, Chelsea legend and Bayern legend, Michael Ballack, talking about what he's kind of looking forward to this summer in the Club World Cup.
I always get the feedback when I'm traveling, you know, when I'm traveling and I'm surprised even now in which corner of the world people know me, recognize me. I mean, it's fantastic. Not everyone looks the Bundesliga, but as a for national team, you've been watching plenty of times in all over the world. And so this, the FIFA is doing that in the Club World Cup competition now, and hopefully it will have the same acceptance and an audience comparable to a World Cup for the nations.
I'm excited to see what this can be as we're getting closer and closer. I'm really liking some of these storylines that are emerging, and it's creating another window in the transfer market as well, with teams being able to add players in that June 1st to June 10th window ahead of the tournament. All kinds of maneuvering going on with that. Real Madrid is one of the teams that is doing a lot of maneuvering. We'll get to the maneuvering in a second. News came out today, and if you're wondering how serious some teams are going to take this tournament, Real Madrid is in the category of teams that I think will take it extremely seriously. They didn't win La Liga. They didn't win the Champions League. That's a disappointing year. New manager coming in Xabi Alonso, who will be in place for the tournament. There's pressure to do well in this, to the point that Jude Bellingham is going to have surgery on a shoulder issue that he's had for a while. That's going to be after the Club World Cup. So he's going to miss around 12 weeks of the start of the La Liga season, maybe about eight or so of the La Liga season. He's going to miss preseason. He's going to miss the start of the season. He'll have to get back up to speed. He's had this issue most of this season, and there really hasn't been a break to have the surgery. He's going to play in the Club World Cup and then miss the start of the La Liga season. Jude Bellingham recently spoke to FIFA about this event and what it means to his club, Real Madrid. Here's what Jude had to say.
I think a big part of it is it being the first one. So we're all interested to see what it's about and how kind of important it becomes in terms of the going forward and this one, how many teams really put all that they can into it. We're interested to see the dynamic of the tournament. But for us, like I said, it's an opportunity to win another title. It's an opportunity to be the first ones to win it. And that's not something we take lightly. So it's something, it's a bit of history, you know, and I've said before, there's not many things you can do at this club that haven't already been done. So it's a nice to have something that's a new opportunity.
They have done about everything you can do in the game, Real Madrid. But they haven't won the 32-team Club World Cup because nobody has. So very cool to hear that. And I think Real Madrid is a team to watch in this tournament in a big, big way. They are looking to add talent ahead of the tournament. Trent Alexander-Arnold is one that they're willing, it sounds like, to pay around an extra $1 million to Liverpool to sign him technically a couple weeks before his contract is over. That one should be done. Dean Huijsen coming in from Bournemouth, that's going to be between $40 and $50 million on the transfer fee or the release clause that will get paid to bring him in ahead of the tournament. There's talk about Alvaro Carrera, the left back at Benfica, who was previously at Manchester United. There's also talk about Nico Paz, who was transferred to Como in Italy, but there's a buyback in the deal for about 8 million euro. They sold him for 6. So pay a little bit extra. He had a great year at Como. They're looking at bringing him in so Xabi Alonso can work with him and make a decision on, is he going to be around long term? Are they going to keep him and move Arda Güler on? Are they going to keep both? Are they going to move Paz on after the tournament? A lot of things to figure out, but they want to bring him back in time for the tournament, and they're going to spend the money to do it. Flamengo in Brazil, they are trying to strengthen ahead of this tournament. It sounds like, according to Fabrizio Romano, they are going to add the veteran Italian national team midfielder, Jorginho, from Arsenal. Mikel Arteta pretty much confirmed it, that he's leaving before the win against Newcastle. He said, we need players because 4 or 5 players, including Jorginho and Kieran Tierney, whose contributions I'm very thankful for, have had their contracts or loans come to an end. So he's going to be out of contract. Flamengo is looking to bring him in. He's already visited Rio in the past after his wedding, warmly received in Flamengo. And it sounds like that is going to get done to strengthen that midfield. He's actually born in Brazil before going to Italy. There's also reports out of Spain that an unnamed Brazilian club, not sure which one, made a tempting offer to Cristiano Ronaldo to join them ahead of the Club World Cup. Al Nassr from Saudi Arabia, they didn't qualify. They actually didn't qualify for the Asian Champions League elite level either for the next season. Ronaldo's out of contract on June 30th, and a deal has not been done yet. Crazier things have happened, and that would add a little bit of extra spice to the tournament, wouldn't it, if Ronaldo went to a Brazilian club to play in this competition? It honestly wouldn't shock me. I don't know who's got the money that he would demand for that sort of thing, but John Texter can't pay his bills, but John Texter throws money around at times. I don't know where the money's going to come from, but Botafogo, perhaps, maybe, I don't know, we'll see. This is Atlanta Soccer Tonight. We're getting caught up on all the maneuvering around the Club World Cup and everything that is coming to the United States this summer. Let's hear from Harry Kane. He is excited about one particular match with a team that we mentioned in the first segment, Boca Juniors, who got knocked out of the quarterfinals of the Argentine Apertura playoffs last night. Here's Harry Kane talking about their match with Boca in Miami.
Yeah, that'll be a special match. I think it'll be one of the, you know, the standout matches in the whole of the group phase and in the whole tournament, to be honest. And yeah, I think it's a great experience for the players to play against, you know, different teams around the world. Of course, we're so used to playing in Europe, and yeah, it's good to kind of have those experiences against different types of teams, different atmospheres. I think that game's in Miami, which will be pretty special as well with the fan base there. So, yeah, again, another experience to look forward to. It'll be a really tough game, but one we'll enjoy.
Bayern is another team that I'm looking at as one to watch in this tournament. They did win the Bundesliga, but they didn't win the Champions League. And this is a club with huge ambitions. I think they're going to go all in on this tournament. They're trying to figure out what their back line is going to look like. Eric Dier, it doesn't look like he is going to stick around. He's already signed a pre-contract with Monaco. There was talk that he might stick around, but he broke his right hand on Saturday. And now Monaco is, you know, obviously very reluctant to have him play for a club that he is leaving before he comes to them. Doesn't look like he's going to be available for this tournament. There's some other potential injuries. Kim Min-jae is touch and go as he's coming back from an Achilles injury. We will have to wait and see on that one. But it does look like Dayo Upamecano will be available. Bayern and Boca is going to be a fascinating one. Boca need a manager right now. They are looking at Miguel Angel Russo, who is at San Lorenzo and might win a league title and then make the move over to Boca. We'll have to see. Gabriel Milito declined the opportunity to go to Boca Juniors. Fiorentina, they're looking to bring or to move on from Lucas Beltran, and he could go back to River Plate ahead of the Club World Cup. River now has nothing else to do until they get ready for the Club World Cup. It might be a loan move with an option to buy. News broke just a little while ago that Pachuca is adding a winger named Robert Kennedy. Not kidding. He's from Brazil. He has bounced around. He's been on the books of Chelsea multiple times, never got regular time there, was loaned. He started at Fluminense in Brazil. He's been at Newcastle. He's been in Spain with Granada, Getafe, Valladolid. Very tricky winger. He will be joining Pachuca for the Club World Cup. And Manchester City got a boost today. Rodri back in the team. He made his first appearance since September of 2024 against Arsenal. There's talk that Real Madrid might be keeping an eye on Rodri at the Club World Cup to see where his recovery is. One more clip from you. Ruben Diaz of Manchester City talking about the Club World Cup.
Will be a different challenge, and on that, very much like the typical national team World Cup, because you play with teams from different continents, completely different ways of seeing the game, and yes, the adaptation you'll have to make, it's obviously a big part of being successful. I mean,
that adaptation in a tournament structure is always interesting. Don't forget, you can still get tickets for the Club World Cup, fifa.com/tickets. And there are some new pricing options in there. You might want to check it out if you're interested in the three games here in Atlanta. Chelsea playing either Club America or LAFC on June 16th. Lionel Messi and Inter Miami against Porto of Portugal June 19th. Manchester City, Ruben Diaz, they will be facing Al Ain from Abu Dhabi on June 22nd. Three knockout games as well, June 29th, July 1, and July 5th. You can also look at hospitality packages at fifa.com/hospitality. Coming up next to round out the show, the 3-4-3, three local stories, four headlines, and three things that make me smile about this game that I love so much. Coming up next on 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.
Dominate your fantasy baseball league with Fantasy Baseball Today, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Scott White, Chris Towers, and me, Frank Stanfill, every weekday as we recap every player from every game. We'll get you the latest news, waiver wire ads and drops, trades to make, prospect promotions, and everything else you need to take down your league. Follow and listen to Fantasy Baseball Today on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.